pull the rug from underneath your feet. Never knew that life could be so discreet. Something in your eyes tells me it'll be alright.
Ron Phelan has a wealth of knowledge in the body and the way it functions. He has been a TMJ hormonal Bowen instructor for many years, teaching in Australia and internationally in countries such as Canada, Germany, and Dublin. With a background in electronic engineering, he later found himself studying at the School of Natural Therapies. Today, we talk about hormones and why they are important, issues present with hormonal imbalances, and some of the ways we can correct some of these imbalances. So let's welcome Ron. Hello, Ron. How are you?
Good morning, Tanya. Yes, great. Thank you.
Oh, that's good. I'm so excited to be talking to you today because you have such a world of knowledge in the hormonal area aspect of Bowen therapy, which I think the hormones is important thing to focus on today. But before we begin, I just want to ask you, what is one thing that you do for your health and well-being each morning to set you up for the day?
I usually do some sort of exercise, either do some weights or stretching, things like a combination of both. I try to get to walk down the beach as much as I can because I'm just about a kilometre from the ocean. So that's a good thing to do. And I enjoy and savour my cup of coffee in the morning.
To begin the day. Oh, yeah. That's good. Well, it's good to get exercise. Does it help you set you up for the day?
Yeah, look, it does. It's funny because there's a little gremlin in the back of the brain that says, oh, you don't want to do it today. Let's give it a miss. And I go, no, we're going to do it today. So, you know, I always feel better after doing, you know, exercise and stretch, and you get up and you go, well, I feel better for that. So it's important to do. And I think as you get older, it becomes more and more important. I think it's easy to just become lazy and do nothing and just say, oh, I'm getting old. But, I met a couple in Adelaide, which is out of Adelaide, I was on the Eyre Peninsula a couple of years ago, and they were chatting away, and the lady said, how old are you? And I said, oh, I'm 83. And she goes, 83? She goes, you look great for 83. And I thought, yeah, I mean, I'm not obviously not 83, but I just thought it was a good way of starting the conversation because, you know, when you say to somebody your real age, they go, geez, you've had a hard life. And I thought, I'll just tell them I'm older than I am, and they'll go, oh, you look really great, which is
I've never tried that one.
A compliment.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that one. Oh, that's actually what amazes me, unless you were lying that at the time. But I just think that it's amazing. Like, you are one of the most fittest, healthiest people that I've ever met and still going strong. You're teaching overseas. Last year you were teaching in Canada and Germany and Dublin. You were teaching hormonal courses. So you live a pretty busy life. Would you be able to just tell us a little bit of your background, what got you into Bowen therapy? I know that you're a master in electronic engineering and you studied at RMIT, and which I think that makes you so incredible and knowledgeable about the body because you know about the wiring. And I was just so fascinated, and you know, there's a lot of admiration for how much you know about the body, what each muscle does, how it connects, and just picking up aspects of the body that, you know, like understanding what's out of balance and things like that. You're just incredible, which we'll go into assessment a bit later. But if you could just tell us a little bit about your background and what got you into the wonderful world of Bowen therapy.
Well, yes, so my original background was electronic engineering, and I spent probably close to 20 years in the electronics industry, mainly in the computer field. And a lot of that was analyzing problems and trying to figure out what was going on and, you know, fixing the problems. And so naturally, I guess, I have an inquiring mind and also a very analytical mind, trying to figure out logically what the process is. And I guess with computers, there is a very streamline, approach because they work in a certain sequence. And human bodies due to a certain amount, and then there's a lot of variation, which makes humans a bit more interesting, I suppose. So, after about 20 years of being in that industry, both working in electronics and also teaching electronics at RMIT, I decided one day I wanted to do something different. And I studied at the Southern School of Natural Therapies in Melbourne, and did two lots of training in massage. And then that was about mid-90s. And then at that stage, I living in the Geelong region where Tom Bowen practiced, a lot of people were asking me, do you do Bowen? And at that stage, I didn't. But I'd had Bowen. I'd actually had Bowen as early as 1987 being treated. So it was like I knew about it, and I had a naturopath here in my hometown where I would refer people for the Bowen. So I eventually thought, well, I better learn Bowen. So I did. And that sort of started me on this amazing journey, both not only with the technique and what it could do and see the results that I got from it, but also the fact that there were still at that time two of Tom Bowen's original students still practicing in Geelong. The lady who worked with Tom Bowen was still living here. Lots and lots of people knew Tom's work. So it was a little bit, particularly when I had my practice in Geelong in the town, people come in, you say, oh, look, I'm going to try this technique on you called the Bowen. Have you ever heard of it? And they say, oh, yeah, I used to go to Tommy. He'd fix me in one go. And you think, oh my God, So I was sort of thrown into the frying pan very quickly with Bowen, with that sort of reputation of Tom's behind him. And so another two guys that worked here, I ended up being a patient of one for many about 3 years and did a workshop with him. And then the other gentleman, I still see regularly. He's the only one still practicing now. And I spent about 18 months watching him in his clinic and asking him questions. And so my view of Bowen became quite broader than just one aspect of it. I met other people who worked with Tom and as well. So it's been quite a sort of eclectic combination of aspects of each person's interpretation of Tom's work. And then I sort of got involved with teaching assessment classes because the classes I was teaching in Bowen later on from 2001, all the people were qualified practitioners, and you'd say to them, okay, this is the lower back procedure, and they'd say, well, prove to me it works. And so you had to come up with some assessment protocols and say, well, if you do this, this, and this, you can see there's a weakness there. That's out of balance. If we do the moves, then that corrects. So I ended up at the request of a lady in Perth, I put together probably the first Bowen assessment course back in 2007, and started teaching that. And then a little bit before that, I met an orthodontist in America through a sequence of events, and then I got invited to attend a workshop with him in 2008, and then I learned about the significance of the TMJ component and how that not only affects the body but also the hormones. And then I am able to adapt the orthodontic principles that orthodontists should use, most of them don't, and adapt that into the Bowen world. And that really was a pivotal change in my practice and also my teaching career, because once I started doing that and showing other people, they wanted to know. And I've taught that all around the world, that particular component. So then that brings me to the hormonal course in 2013. I took the workshop. The gentleman who developed the work, Trevor Rose, he was in a little town called Mannum, South Australia. And I knew Trevor quite well, and he rang me one time and said, look, I'm coming over to see you. I want to catch up. Yeah, no worries. And at that time, I didn't know the real reason behind why he was coming, because he had to drive virtually from Adelaide to the other side of Geelong. And he was actually coming over to ask me to teach the hormonal course. And unfortunately, Trevor was in remission from a cancer, and it came back very aggressively, and I never got to speak to him again. He passed away. And then when I spoke to his widow, I asked her about the reason he was coming over, and she said, yes, he was coming over to ask you to teach the work. So he obviously had respect for my teaching. And plus, I hadn't even done the course at that time, and I eventually did the course. And then I thought, well, there was a lady here teaching it in Australia. And I felt, okay, well, she's covering Australia. And I had lots of contacts, and I was teaching TMJ and other stuff overseas. So I took it overseas, and I'm quite happy now to say that I think it's about 20 people from 26 countries now have taken the hormonal course. And that's really great. And I know athlete Trevor's widow said to me, Trevor would be so excited to think that his work, you know, has flourished and gone outside of Australia. And currently I've got three teachers teaching hormonal outside of Australia as well.
Amazing. And you have, you've lectured and or talked to doctors and all sorts of, you know, professional people in the medical industry about the importance of not only the hormone balance, but also the TMJ. But I wanted to ask you, you know, one of the most important questions. Why are hormones so important to our body? Like, well, why do we need to balance the hormones, and why do we need to look at it? Which I really don't think we look at the hormones enough when we see a doctor, or, you know, they're just prescribing for the symptom. But why are hormones something that is really important to the bodies? What does the hormone do for our bodies?
Well, they affect so many functions in the body. I mean, if you just look at the very basics of the fight and flight process, you know, the adrenal cortex, and this is all driven from the pituitary gland. And so, you know, we've got that aspect. And we know that in our current world, and for various reasons, a lot of people are running around and they haven't got time to think. You know, they're just going from A to B in a hurry. And we see people, you know, driving crazy and trying to get from one place to another. And they're all running in an adrenal overload situation. So there's an aspect of the hormones out of balance for a start. The other another aspect that I touch on very simply is that we have a lot of environmental toxins at the moment in our that are coming into our food chain, and one of the big issues, particularly in the area for both men and women, is the introduction of what we call exogenous estrogens, which are synthetic estrogens, and a big component of that comes through from plastics. And one of the things you should never do is put plastic food in a microwave in a plastic container, because it transfers the estrogens into the food. So the exogenous estrogens take up the receptor sites in your body, and that will start to mess you around, because the receptor thinks it's the estrogen, but it's not. It's actually a synthetic, and it'll actually mess up with the actual hormone system and causing problems. So this is a big issue, and we see this particularly in the areas of fertility, where the imbalances and women having difficulty getting pregnant. In fact, I was talking to my colleague in Europe who works, has done a lot of work in this area, and he was saying to me that where he lives is a plastics factory not far from his town, and 30% of the men were sterile.
Oh, no. Wow. Wow.
And he was able to reverse that.
Wow, that's incredible. And how did he reverse that? Just by
using vibrational remedies.
Wow. But that's amazing. And that's horrific. I mean, that's just one area. I mean, imagine.
I know.
Yeah.
And imagine that 30% of the workforce being sterile. Mm. So this is, and that's all coming from the plastics and working in that environment. But, you know, it affects so many different other parts of our body, how we function, you know.
And how we sleep, and each hormone balances other hormones. And if you're so, like, for example, I had my biochemistry done not too long ago, about a year ago. And, you know, I was low in, I think, estrogen. But because I was low in estrogen, the body was pulling the cortisol to make up for what was low in the estrogen, and then it was making me more fatigued, even though I was actually producing a lot of cortisol, which is actually quite dangerous for the body. So I just had to bring that back into balance. But once we had that assessment, or we knew about it, we could work with that. But, you know, just that little pieces of the puzzle of how, you know, things affect us and things that we're doing day to day, that it's not, you know, normally it would just treat, well, you're low in cortisol, so let's up your cortisol. But then that would be a double whammy, because you'd be producing so much cortisol anyway. And then they're giving, you know, so you've got to be like a private investigator. And what are some of the signs and symptoms of low hormonal balance, like including, like, with the thyroid? Well, or
Yeah, this well certainly thyroid function is one of them. I was just going to sort of talk about that. Is that if you go right up to the sort of the top of the tree, so to speak, you've got the pituitary gland, which is your master endocrine gland. So that's the one that's actually driving the show. And the pituitary gland is in two halves. It's got the posterior and the anterior component. And collectively, there's one as we talked about cortisol and being in fight and flight. That's one aspect. But the other aspect of that too is that when you're sleeping and your body's supposed to be healing and regenerating, and of course you've got your osteoclast breaking down bone, osteoblasts are rebuilding it. So this is happening all the time. The growth hormone, which is also produced by the pituitary gland, is inhibited if you're in cortisol, excessive cortisol production, because you basically, if you go back to the basics, like if you're trying to run away to save your life, the body has to conserve the energy and place the emphasis where it needs to be. And in this case, it's not going to worry about rebuilding, and it's not going to worry about getting pregnant and that sort of stuff, because you're actually in fight and flight. So what happens is when your adrenal when your cortisol production is too high, then your growth hormone basically becomes less effective and not effective at all. So then you've got a restriction or an impairment of the rebuilding and growth of bone and muscle and everything else. So there's that part of it as well. So you've got the aging factor and things being in there. You've also got, as you mentioned, the thyroid function. So that's the pituitary gland produces that to drive the thyroid gland. Then on top of that, you've also got things such as follicle stimulating hormone, luteinizing hormone, which is all to do with fertility and your normal hormones for your menstrual cycle and, as you go through the monthly cycle. You've also got a thing called antidiuretic hormone, which is your body's way of reabsorbing, it's monitoring and your water levels within the body. So basically what happens there is that if your body perceives that it's excreting too much fluid, it will try and reabsorb some of the water to ensure that you don't dehydrate. And that's just a, that's a survival function at a very primal level. One of the other hormones is a thing called oxytocin, and that's a really, really important one, because oxytocin is produced by the pituitary gland as well. And oxytocin is produced for women when they're breastfeeding, because it helps with the breast milk. But the other important aspect of oxytocin is it's a happy hormone. And so that we have issues here for mood swings and things like that with the oxytocin. And I guess one of the points I would like to make is that when I started to really get interested in hormones, which was back in the mid-90s, I had a very personal reason for it, because my partner at the time was going through menopause and my daughter was going through puberty. And the household was pretty crazy. And there was a group in Geelong who are a natural menopause group. So I went along to find out what was going on, and then subsequently read a whole bunch of different books. And there's one great book I think that every woman should read. It's called A Passage to Power by Lady Leslie Kenton, and very well written book. And she refers to a pioneer in this work, a guy called Dr. John Lee. And Dr. John Lee, that's LEE. His website, he's passed away now, but his website's still there. And so I started to learn about why my partner was going sort of crazy and why my daughter was, going through her situation, because of what was I needed to know. I thought, well, if I'm going to live with these people, I'm in survival mode. I want to find out what's going on. And that
You've
sort
got to
of,
survive.
yeah. And so anyway, that's what's really sort of, that was the impetus to get me involved in learning more about the hormones. And then, with the work I was doing primarily with the TMJ, and I should point out that the TMJ is a big driver in all this, because the jaw, because of the rhythm that we have in our body of breathing, it causes movement in certain bones. And there's a bone called the sphenoid bone, which sits behind the eyes, and that contains in the middle of that sphenoid bone a little cavity called the sella turcica, and in that sella turcica is your pituitary gland. So irregular movement of that bone due to cranial distortions, which could be due to the jaw, will cause irregular hormonal output. So, and you know, so you got to go right. If you go right back to the basics, that's where it all starts. So, you know, if there's no point treating the hormone imbalance further down the line, if the structural component and the body's not able to do what it was meant to do. So that in the training that I've done, which you've taken, you'll notice that every procedure that we learned, it finishes with the jaw. And the reason for that is because its effect on the pituitary gland, and hence through the sphenoid and the jaw. So
And that's so true, isn't it? That because everything so much stems from our jaw, like so much, like even from the moment we're born, from the way we were born, the way we pass through the birth canal, the way we were handled, even like hitting our head when we were a baby, to like, you know, don't dentists. Like I go to a dentist, a natural dentist that tries to have very low impact of trauma on the jaw and on because he knows the repercussions of later in life. And you know, just some of these orthodontic work that is, it tends to be a little bit of a trend at the moment that you know everyone's getting a lot of dental work, but the impact later, you know, doing dental work too early while the jaw's still growing can actually impact on, you know, things later on. You know, just basic things like ear infections, but just the jaw is such an important component of so much that we don't always look at the jaw. I mean, in anything, you know, even infections, bacteria infections, you
It's
know, bone structure, yeah, it could be
a
blocking.
primary driver, and it's the most used joint in the body. And you know, getting back to the engineering model, you know, if I always say in my classes that, you know, if you had a box of 10 mechanical parts in it, and it performed a function, and one of those parts worked 10 times harder than every other part, well, when the thing broke down, if you were going to open up and try and figure out what was wrong with it, you go to the part that's being used the most because it's most likely to wear down, you know, to break. And that's the same with the jaw. And I guess the thing with the jaw is that it, because of its design and the function we use, it gradually over time starts to go further and further out of position. And then you become symptomatic. And it's not always obvious that it's the jaw. You might go and have a filling, which throws the jaw just over the edge, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. And all of a sudden, you start to get these other symptoms. And once again, that feeds directly back into the pituitary gland, because it can throw that rhythm out. And hence, you end up having hormonal issues. And one other aspect of the hormonal, which I'd like to mention, just to give you an idea of imbalances and hormones and things can affect. Years ago, I trained in a biofeedback technique called morotherapy, MORA. And I had a lady come into some physical problems. And then she said to me, "Oh, ma'am, I'm having all these." She was like 53. She was still in menopause, you know. And she said, you know, the whole household was in disarray. You know, she was all over the place. Her husband didn't know what to do with her. The kids were, you know, running to their bedroom trying to escape. And, you know, it was pretty sad case. And she said, "Is there anything you can do?" So with that particular machine, I took the machine in and we plugged her in and tested her. And she looked at me totally like, "What?" And she said, "Why do you ask?" And I said, "Because you've got the residual of toxic shock in your right ovary." And so she was quite, you know, taken back by that. And she had used those particular tampons, pretty many, it doesn't really matter which one it was. Anyway, so basically what happened was I was able to reverse the toxic shock out of her ovary, and all her hormones came back into balance. So, you know, and she, you know, she came back a couple of weeks later saying, "Oh, you know, I've completely changed." And so it just shows you how a toxin can get into the system and then throw the body out, as I mentioned earlier about the exogenous estrogens. So one thing I would also mention is that in the work that I've done testing the hormones, as I've been able to do using, we'll call it vibrational testing, is that when I was treating people, particularly for fertility issues, I found that you'd test them and the hormones were all over the place. The body was sort of depleted in this and excess in that or whatever. And so I do the treatments, the hormonal work, and then over a period of time, you watch the hormones coming back into balance. And primarily, the last two hormones which needed, that were the last two standing as far as being out, were progesterone and pregnenolone. And pregnenolone is the precursor to progesterone. And of course, progesterone, without progesterone, you can't get pregnant. Simple as that.
And that's one of the basic things that we should know. Like if you go to the doctor and you just can't get pregnant and suddenly you're using these expensive solutions when it's just that, it's simple, but I guess it's not.
Well, it's interesting because the gentleman that I referred to in the work is Dr. John Lee. I mentioned him earlier, and he was talking about using what he called natural progesterone, like real progesterone, what your body produces. And he said he was on a radio talk show. This is in the US, and a guy rang from an IVF clinic, and he said to him, "Oh, Dr. Lee, you're saying that there's only one progesterone. We have all these progesterones." And he said, "No, they're not progesterones, they're progestins. A progestin is a synthetic version of a progesterone."
Yes, I love that. I could go on for hours for this.
That's right. And anyway, the guy, and he says, "Oh, but they all work the same." And Dr. Lee said to him, "Okay, you're an IVF specialist." He says, "When you prepare the beaker for the implantation of the egg, what do you use there?" And the guy said, "Oh, well, there we actually have to use natural progesterone." He said, "I rest my case." So you cannot get pregnant unless your progesterone levels are at certain levels during your cycle. And in anticipation of fertilization of the egg in the second half of your cycle, the estrogen, the progesterone rises to become the dominant hormone over the estrogen, with the expectation of the egg being fertilized. And of course, if it's not fertilized, then it drops like a rock. And so does the estrogen. And that's what initiates the start of your menstrual cycle. So
it's very common that a lot of people are boys and girls, because according to biochemistry, boys and girls have the same hormones. We think that they don't, but they just have different levels of these hormones. But also over the years, they've changed the requirements of what your body needs in the hormones. So it's up to 200 that you required, if in the blood test, and correct me if I'm wrong. But I find that alarming that they've lowered how much you actually are required when your body actually requires a lot more. So I don't know if they base it on just common statistics that everyone's got low, estrogen or low progesterone, and therefore that's the normal range, but it's actually not the normal range. They do that with vitamin D as well. It's dangerously low. It should be a lot higher than what it's.
Well, see, with the progesterone, particularly, progesterone is used to produce your testosterone and your estrogen. So it's like the precursors. Your body converts fat, fat tissue into pregnenolone, the biosynthesis of the body, and then that gets produced to progesterone, and then the progesterone produces the testosterone and estrogens. And there is an ancillary way where if, like, a woman for whatever reason is not producing enough progesterone, and we see this when we have like athletes, like long distance runners, the women stop their cycle just stops. And that's because there's no fat tissue there for the body to break it down, and the progesterone can't be produced, and the body goes, "Well, this is not a good environment to produce a baby, so we ain't going to do that." So,
and that's the body's natural way of saying, "This is not a good environment to produce a baby." It's like, how clever is the body?
I know, but it's also saying you're in fight and flight because your adrenaline can be high. But the part I was going to say was that, and Dr. Lee talks about this, is that when the progesterone, for whatever reason, is not being produced adequately to produce the testosterone and the estrogens, it produces it through an ancillary way, through a thing called androstenedione, which is another one of the hormones. And when a woman produces too much androstenedione because the progesterone's not being produced in the normal pathway, one of the side effects is alopecia. So that's when the woman starts to lose her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're now producing, you end up producing more male hormones and you lose hair. So this is a classic situation of the biosynthesis of the normal pathway not being, not functioning correctly. So very, very important. I mean, yeah, we can talk for hours really about all the different.
And what about endometriosis? Now, this is one thing I like to talk about or mention, because endometriosis is a horrible, not a very nice thing to have to endure, but it's quite common. And I know that we have a treatment for endometriosis with the Bowen therapy. But could you share some stories on how you've treated, but you know, your background and knowledge on endometriosis?
Personally, I haven't really had anyone come to me. Like, I don't usually get women coming in, so I'm coming to see you for endometriosis. You know, I've treated for fertility and I've treated for other hormonal issues. But I have a friend locally who, and she had one and two sessions with women with endometriosis, and basically all the symptoms had basically gone.
Settled.
Which medically is, you know, settled down. So medically that's really quite, you know,
astounding, yeah.
Stunning, yeah, yeah. And so, you know, I've had good success with, you know, people, guys with prostate stuff, you know, having to get up so many times a night, and then you treat them and it balances out. So, and if you look at the, once again, the technique that we are using is simply stimulating the nervous system to activate the hormonal system. That's really what we're doing through the fascia and the fascial pathways of the body. So, the looking at the mechanics of how that works is an interesting thing, because you can look at it in a number of different ways, but probably one of the ways I have been investigating is the acupuncture points that we are activating and what they stimulate, because that certainly is a way of mapping out how the hormones are being activated through the fascial system. So yeah, the results are there. I've had people from around the world say, yeah, they're getting results with it. So what we're really doing is, rather than treating the symptom as such, we're actually going back to the basics and saying, okay, your jaw's out, your pelvis is out, everything else in between's compromised. How can you expect the system to function as it was originally designed? You can't. So what we've got to do is what we call the adaptive range. We have an adaptive range that our body can function within. When you go outside the adaptive range, you get sick, like a thermal adaptive range. If we go outside, you know, we've got a mid-range that we should be at, and if we go too high, we have hypothermia, and if we have go too low, we have hypothermia. So we can work within the range, but as long as we stay within the range, we're okay. As soon as we go outside the range, we become symptomatic. And it's the same with everything really in our body. We have a structural adaptive range, we have a biochemical adaptive range, we have a hormonal adaptive range. But the mechanics of the body is designed that the breathing function is to stimulate certain receptors as we breathe, and part of that is to pump the cerebral spinal fluid back up to the cranial vault, and that causes movement in the sphenoid bone, which activates the pituitary gland. So if there's a compromise there, there's no point treating the hormone specifically. Go back to the basics and put the mechanics back the way they were. And that's what we're really doing in the Bowen. We're not targeting the symptom, we're targeting the underlying structural imbalances, which in turn, once you bring the body back, if it's too high or too low, once you bring it back within its now its range, it can function in that range. So once you do the structural work and bring them back, all these things that were not working properly, they'll start to function again, because they're saying, hey, you know, we're now back in that range. So
and that's amazing, because when you have, say, like if you have a client that or someone that has, you know, say they haven't had a period for a very long time, and, you know, they're coming to Bowen and they're not getting any results. But what we're doing is that the body really doesn't know what its normal cycle is anymore. And, it, you know, you might have just had one, missed it, and then you've got to wait another 28 days and it takes a few months for it to come back into its normal, you know, homeostasis or its normal rhythm. So, you know, that's why it's really good to keep up with the Bowen, to keep the, you know, the structural aspect of it, so everything else can, your body can find its own way back to what's natural balance, rather than manipulating it and torturing it. And
Well, that's right. Yeah, I would cite one case of a lady who had been on IVF for 2 years and came to me, and she wanted to get pregnant. The clock was running out, and structurally she was all over the shop. Biochemically, she was all over the shop because she'd been on IVF and had all these synthetic hormones in her body. So it took about probably 4 months. And with the cycle of for the fertility protocol, you don't see them every week, but you start them a week before their period. But she wasn't even having a period, so we didn't even know when to really start. So we just had to take a guess. And I started by just doing normal Bowen work, balancing her out, getting everything structurally balanced, jaw balance, pelvis balance. But once that happened, bingo, her period sort of arrived,
You got
and then
something to
we
work
worked.
with. Yep.
Yeah, and then we could start to work with it. And once we got the period, then we could add the hormonal work in to actually set up. And it was actually quite a lovely story because I was treating her. I had the second last treatment. I was heading overseas for 7 months, and she knew that. And she came in. She was about day nine of her cycle, and for the first part of the cycle, the male has to abstain from any release until you get to the optimum period, which is 12, 15 sort of days from when she's ovulating. Anyway, she came in and said to me, before we start, she said, my husband asked me to tell you that today was his birthday.
Ah, it's on her
And I've
story
got,
too.
uh-oh. So she got on the table and I treated her, and then she got off the table at the end of it. And she said, so what do I tell him? And I thought, well, it's a bit early, but I thought, who am I to, say yes or no. So I just said, go for it. So she came back in, it probably was might have been 2 weeks later for the last treatment. I was heading overseas, and she got on the table, and I had my friend who took over my practice and also an overseas practitioner with me. And one of the things you check for is the imbalance at the coccyx sacral area. And it had always been one particular way, and it's completely swung the other way. And I walked out the door and I said, she's pregnant. And they said to her, how do you know? I said, I just know. And anyway, there was a particular move I didn't do on her, which you don't do if somebody's pregnant. So she left, and she told me this 7, 8 months later when I came back. She said, I left knowing you hadn't done that move. So I figured, oh, I must be pregnant. So she raced off and got a fertility test. And it was negative, and she was really disappointed because she knew I was going away. Anyway, a week later, she took the test, and it was positive.
Oh, wow.
So I picked it up even before the fertility test picked it up, which I was really happy about. So hence is the power, but it gets back to that you've got to bring the body back into a reasonable level of alignment, which we call the adaptive range, or you introduce this other work to really fine tune it. And she's got a lovely little boy, he's about seven now, and
Well, thanks to you.
I
How
spoke to him on
sweet.
the phone before Christmas, and she said, this is Ron. I'm on the phone. She said, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Ron. So it was really lovely.
I love that story because, actually with bone therapy, good health and well-being is really just at our fingertips. I mean, if everything else falls down and we can't get to, the chemist or the doctors, we've got good health right at our fingertips, which is
Yes.
such a blessing. It's got almost
We
God's gift to
can treat
everybody.
people anywhere. That's the thing. And we don't need any particular tools. We've got our hands, they're our tools.
Just the power of balancing the body, because so many of us, and even noticing in myself, when you're not in balance, so many of us are walking around with totally imbalanced structural system. The nervous system's not in balance, and then it affects the hormones, and so many of us are walking around and we think this is actually our normal state of being, and it's not. So that's what I love about the Bowen, is it just puts you back into balance.
And I think, look, Bowen's a wonderful technique, and Tom Bowen himself, when he practiced here in Geelong, by his own admission, he had an 88% success rate. So roughly one in 10 people he couldn't help, and there might be various different reasons as to why that was the case. So I think, like all therapies, we've got to be realistic that yes, we can help a lot of people, but there will be times when either we can't help them with Bowen, or they can't be helped at all with any technique. It's just the way it is. And it's always good to have, I guess, extra tools in the toolbox to support. Like, I think that particular lady I just mentioned with the fertility, I think having the hormonal work in addition to the general Bowen work just sped the process up and allowed me to evaluate. And I was using vibrational remedies, if you like, to actually assess her progress. So I was watching her dependency on all the hormones being so far out because her body was so far out. And then over a period of, say, 4 months, I watched the level of hormones that were out of balance get less and less and less until we finally got down to the progesterone and the pregnenolone. And I think it's really important, two things that we about progesterone. Generally, people get their progesterone tested through a blood, and that's, according to Dr. Lee, not accurate. What's in the blood is the used progesterone is not active, and the more accurate way was what they call a saliva assay test. So that's one aspect. Secondly, as we mentioned earlier about the middle of the cycle, the progesterone rises in that second half of the cycle to become the dominant hormone. And without that happening, and he talked about this is, 25 years ago, he talked about they did tests on women, they're all fertile, they're always sexually active, they're in their, 25 to sort of 35 range. And a lot of them weren't producing enough progesterone in the second half of their cycle, so they could never really get pregnant. And this is coming from the environmental toxins that I was referring to before, the out of chemicals into our water supplies, the plastic containers, all these other things, pesticides. And then it certainly hasn't improved in the last 25 years. And the third thing I want to mention, which I think is really important, if a woman comes to you and has been having problems maintaining the pregnancy. So, as we know, a lot of women miscarry towards the end of the first trimester, and there's a quite a valid reason for that. So what happens is when you're pregnant, your ovary produces the progesterone for the first 10 weeks or so. Okay, so the ovary is producing the progesterone. And without the progesterone there, you cannot maintain the fetus. Okay. And what happens is at the end of 10 weeks, thereabouts, the ovary transfers the function of producing the progesterone to the uterus, the placenta.
And the
And the
uterus is
placenta now
stronger.
produces the progesterone. So, and if the placenta is not capable of producing the adequate levels of progesterone, and it's like it goes up 10 times. It goes from like 30 milligrams up to 300 milligrams when you're pregnant. So if the placenta is not able to produce the required levels of the progesterone, the body will reject the fetus and abort it. Now, that's another interesting point as well, because as Dr. Lee mentions, he says, if you say, Tanya, if you're out having a barbecue somewhere in the bush, whatever, and you're there with your partner and you're cooking something and then something catches on fire and you get burnt and they race you into the hospital and they say, oh, well, you've got a third degree burn. And your partner says, look, I've got some extra skin. You can take some of mine. It won't work because you have to have skin match, blood match, etc. Otherwise, the body has a natural rejection phenomena. Okay. Everybody knows this. It's the same when they do organ transplants. But why is it that the sperm of any male can enter your body and get you pregnant, and there's no rejection? Because theoretically, that sperm should be considered as a foreign item, right? And the body should automatically go, hey, I don't want this. You're out of here. And the only reason it doesn't get rejected is because of progesterone. Now, if you don't have the required amount of progesterone, you can't get pregnant, as we talked about earlier. Secondly, as I said, the ovary produces the progesterone that first 10 weeks thereabouts. It transfers the function to the uterus and says, okay, it's your, oh, sorry, the placenta, it's your turn to do it now, huh? So the placenta is producing like 300 milligrams, I guess, per day of progesterone to maintain the fetus. And if it can't do it, and that drops to a certain level, the body's rejection phenomena kicks back in, abort. And this is why the majority of, I'm not saying it's all, but it's certainly a
A
very
contributing factor.
contributing factor, that why miscarriages occur in that first trimester.
And so what can we do to keep the levels up? Not just if we're pregnant, but just, to keep a normal range of progesterone. I mean, obviously not, the plastics and, I mean,
Well, obviously, you're
all
trying to
these.
avoid all those toxic aspects of it. As we talked, you get right back to the whole functioning of the pituitary gland, and that obviously that's got to be that's your primary. That's where it all starts. Okay, at the functioning of the pituitary gland, because that's the driver for all the your endocrine system. But I know Dr. Lee, if women had problems, he would get them onto a natural progesterone cream, and to support their progesterone levels. But I'm not suggesting women go out and buy progesterone cream and start, putting it on. That really they should find someone who can do the tests. And like I said, the blood tests aren't accurate. So from that perspective, the saliva assay tester was the one that Dr. Lee used, and I think it's still quite valid. So,
What about foods? What sort of foods? Because I know there's wild yam and
Well, that's a myth, the old wild yam.
yeah,
Yeah,
not,
there
oh,
was
what is it? Sea moss and sorry.
the whole thing back in the 90s about people buying wild yam cream and, rubbing it onto themselves, and they thought they were getting progesterone. But the actual
It's too hard work
yeah well the wild
you'll
yam
forget.
as a it's a chemical thing called a diosmogen, and that's was can be converted into natural progesterone through a series of chemical steps, and that was developed by a guy called Russell E. Marker in the US, a biochemist, and he that process. And so you convert wild yam into progesterone through a chemical process, but your body doesn't convert wild yam.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? When you say the word biochemist, I just think, oh no.
He was an organic biochemist, if that makes any difference. But
So what foods or like what could we do? More sunshine? I mean, we can give up some alcohol. That's pretty a good thing for us
yeah,
to
that will
do.
too make it. Look, it's funny because you say that, and I don't know about you, but when I go to the supermarket, I just watch people coming out of the supermarket,
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola,
Chips.
chips, all the sweet stuff, all, and you just think.
So just coming back to natural, real
Natural
food. That's what I say.
food,
Real
organic
food.
where you can. I know it's sometimes not as easy to get, but fruit, vegetables, fresh things. My theory is if you look at the package and you can't identify what it is by looking at it, you probably shouldn't buy it because it's overly processed,
Yeah.
so
Well,
you,
my turning point was Living Valley, which was Living Valley is a health retreat in Queensland, and they worked on, they work on your hormones. But that was the beginning of like just basically coming back to natural foods, natural diet, getting your sleep, going to bed before 9, because that's when your body produces, the melatonin before 12. And, the rest is where you're restoring your health, because a lot of us don't even get good night rest. Getting off our devices because it actually switches on the brain before you go to bed, so the body thinks it's morning, like you're waking up. But that was a really big turnaround for my health, and that's when I began my journey into Bowen therapy and nutrition. And it is just coming back to the basic, normal, well, not normal. I'm saying the word normal. What's normal? But just good food, good sleep, good rest, good water.
it gets back to this adaptive range again, that if you're eating foods that are outside your adaptive range, then you're going to have your body's going to go into a stress because of that. Because really, to summarize, really, there's only one disease, it's called stress.
I agree.
And
It
stress
is. Oh, we said this. Yes.
it affects us in many ways, structurally, biochemically,
Nervous
hormonally,
system.
neurologically, spiritually, etc. And so it's a matter of staying within the adaptive range of your stress levels to ensure that your cortisol is not running. Because when you go into the stress cycle, the guy who did all the work on this was a guy called Hans Selye back in the 30s, and I think it was the 30s, and he noticed that if he created an environment for animals such as mice and rats, where he lowered the temperature 5 degrees, they could If he took them from, say, 10, let's say the room temperature was 12 degrees, he took them down to, say, 7 degrees, they could cope with that. But then if you took rats and put them into 0 degrees, like it was a big drop really quickly, what happened was their body reacted by their adrenal cortex being enlarged and discoloring. And so they were in a stress cycle because it was too much change too quickly. And it's a beautiful book. It's called The Stress of Life, Hans Selye, Selye. And I think anybody who's working in the health industry, they should read that book because it makes you understand the process of what stress does to the body. And so those stresses can be, like I said, it can be from a number of different factors. You could be doing stuff that physically is causing you stress. You could look, we've all been in situations emotionally, and we've certainly went through that the last few years with COVID, being put under stressful situations for different reasons.
Yeah, and that's what I call long-term COVID, because it's not just catching COVID, it's the long-term impact of what I'm finding just talking to people, is that there's a bit of a very big delay of trauma, and we're all walking around with a lot of trauma regardless. I mean, it was a traumatic time, and we're kind of like looking back and going, what happened?
Yeah,
You know,
exactly.
what has happened? You know, we weren't getting fresh air. There was so much stress trying to, you know, inflation's gone up. They're kindly increased our speeding ticket fines. You know, they're doing a lot of things to help our stress at the moment.
Well, it gets back to what happened in the Second World War when the Nuremberg trials, they said to Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister, how did you get people to do what they did? And they said it was just easy. You create stress, and then people can't think properly. They, the blinkers go, and they can't see the bigger picture. So when you are in a stressful environment, and we certainly went through that with COVID, people, people had different views on things, and that caused problems. And the fact that, like you said, oh, hang on, am I more than 15 minutes out on my walking thing? Can I go,
More
can I?
stress.
It was all more, just more stress. And
Telling
when
each other off, arguing over what you're
just
doing,
feeds back
right?
into this body of ours, this organism, and it affects our pituitary, affects our whole
Sad, isn't it? It's
lymphatics
cruel.
and stuff. Yeah, it all gets affected. So to answer your question, keep away from stress. And meditation, when I say meditation, you don't have to sit on the floor with cross-legged, doing an om. Various people find different ways. We've all been hypnotized by where you sit there in front of a fish tank, and 15 minutes later you go, oh, hang on.
Yeah,
You
just zoning out a bit.
just zone out, and I have
Yeah.
my own way of doing it. It doesn't involve either doing oms or sitting in front of a fish tank,
Yeah.
but I have my way of chilling out, and I do that usually before I go to bed, which I find helps me sleep better. Yeah.
Well, one of the things I talk about in my book actually is the eight laws of health, which is, you know, violate one of those laws and then it throws your body out. And that's basically what we've talked about, is the fresh air, water.
Yeah.
And you know, lowering the stress.
Well, it's, when you think of it, it's so
It is
basic.
common sense. It's just so, it's wisdom, it's common sense. It's there. It's been since the ancient days. But you know, I think it's really not taught in schools. Our children aren't learning the understanding, the impact on stress and what it does to our body. I mean, I know there's a difference, and you probably notice the difference just being living here in the city and then going out to visit my parents. And the moment I get out of the car, I feel my whole nervous system go, ah, I just feel like just this unpacking and unloading. And, you know, if we're constantly in this city, imagine, you know, we've got fast cars, noise, everything that's just jerking our nervous system. We don't even realize it.
Well, as we have spoken about previously, I live on the coast south of Geelong, and I live about 1 kilometre from the beach. I always walk down the street to the beach over the sand dunes, and I used, back in the 80s when I used to live in Melbourne, I'd drive back over the West Gate Bridge back into Melbourne, and I'd see this haze over the city, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm living in this and breathing this, and I escaped from Melbourne in the end of 89, and I would never live in Melbourne ever again. Just, it's like, it's, and that's, to me, that created stress. And
Yeah, yep, definitely. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you today, and I'm very excited about your new course that's going to come out next year, the next
Oh yeah,
level of the
that's
hormone where you
for
learn
the people
about.
who, yeah, for the people who've taken the class, and that it'll be another it'll be some work with the TMJ work we have to do to really improve the effectiveness of it. And also through this gentleman I met, the one I mentioned before about the sterility with the men in the in Europe working in a plastics factory. He has developed a kit for me to test for the hormones, which is much more specific and accurate than I had done previously. So I'm using that this at the moment and developing all that. And
Yeah, assessment's good. It's
yeah,
really
so
good. It's like when
is
you go and see a doctor and they just prescribe antibiotics, but there's no assessment. Like there's no root. Where's the root cause? So assessment's great just to see, but also to monitor the progress, isn't it? So
Oh yes,
when you
well,
see
there's that
someone.
wonderful saying that the odds of hitting the target go up greatly if you're aiming at it. You know, so that's really important. If you're just doing things willy-nilly and hoping for the best, that might work. But if you've actually, as you would also know, Tanya, with the Bowen work and any type of really work, if you crank up your intention and focus what you're trying to achieve, you get a much better result than just doing things, you know, and hoping for the best. So that would be.
Yeah, because I do find that there's people that go from one practitioner to another practitioner to another practitioner to another practitioner, and they never seem to get better, and they're taking all these supplements. I actually think a lot of the supplements are making them more unwell, because it becomes more of like a kind of like a
It
drug,
becomes
isn't
an
it?
overload on the body. It takes them outside the adaptive range again. So, you know.
Processed, it's not natural food. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you so much. And if anyone, are you contactable, or is it if you want anyone to
Well,
contact you?
they can go to my. There's two websites that I have. One is pascseminars.com,
Well, I'll link
PASC,
it. Yep.
and that's for the TMJ and the assessment work that I do. And then the other one is hormonal release the Bowen way.com, which is for specifically for the hormonal work. So there's a contact point there. They can go and they can read a bit more about the information for both groups of courses that I'm involved with. And I'm, you know, I've had a very blessed life in ways that, you know, started out wondering how remote control airplanes work. And that was what got me into electronics. And I spent 20 years in the electronics industry, but ended up in the computers. And I still don't know how remote control airplanes work. So I still stand in the park and watch them and think, that's
They're
pretty cool.
remote controlling the body now.
Yeah, and yeah, so, but certainly the information that I learned in that engineering and then teaching electronics has helped me with the work I'm doing now, because the analytical skills and the understanding the electrics of the body. You know, I taught
Yeah,
a subject
that's
called
amazing.
biophysics for a number of years, which is all the electronics and the of the body. So it sort of came natural. So nothing is not one thing you learn is not wasted. It ends up being useful down the track.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, because I really appreciate the time. You're like I said, the world of knowledge that you have is just phenomenal, and so thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom today. I'm sure it's going to be received from many with much great gratefulness and gratitude. So thank you.
Well, if there are Bowen therapists out there who are interested, certainly, you know, go to the website and have a look. And like I said, I've got teachers for hormonal in Canada, UK, and one starting in Slovenia, which will cover
Wow, that's great.
the Slavic sort of states, you know, like Croatia and that. And I've got a number of teachers teaching the jaw work in Canada. Slovenia again, South Africa, and also a lady teaching in for doing Germany and Spanish countries as well. So
Wonderful.
getting Bowen out there, and I think it's a wonderful technique, and I'm very blessed to have had the opportunity to learn it and help many people along. Because at the end of the day, ego is one thing that I think is a thing that a lot of people probably suffer from. And I think you can put your ego down and just say, I'm here to help the person who comes in the door. That's the primary thing here that we're trying to do. And if I think we're one of the few modalities, I think, that we can do so much and not need a lot of equipment to do it. And we can help
Amazing.
so many people, and I think that is really a gift.
Yeah, it's great for other people and great for family. And I mean, I've used it with my kids, my family, my parents. So thank you so much.
Pleasure. Pleasure.
And you're still shining. Look within, look within. Do you see the light again? You're still shining.